Hello.
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 Welcome to another Rehab podcast. The first one in quite a few months because we stopped for the summer because we were basically roasting inside our recording studio.
Yeah, it took us about 3 months for our brain to come down to regular temperatures and realise that we hadn't done a podcast for a while, and now we're back.
Without Rosie because she's ill, not from the sunshine, from something indirectly related. Instead, we're joined by Camille Boudier. Camille, would you like to introduce yourself and pronounce your name properly?
Hello, everyone. I'm Camille. Camille, actually. I'm senior strategist at Rehab and work very closely with Rosie, Gordon, Peter.
Great. Today, we're going to talk about all of the hardware announcements from the big players in the last month. So we've had Apple announcing, we've had Amazon, we've had Facebook, and we've had Google. We're going to go through each of those in order and then just have a general chat about what it all means.
Yeah, there's a lot. There's a lot of hardware, and that it kind of indicates where the companies behind the hardware are thinking and where everything's going and how everything's converging. It's interesting to see certain players trying to like get niches for themselves and others trying to put their stuff in everything. You can guess which that one is.
For the benefit of the tape, Camille is nodding. Camille, we will need you to vocalize your responses, please.
Yes, let's talk about that. I'm looking forward to it.
Okay, let's start by talking about Apple. Apple announced three new phones. So the first one is the iPhone XS. It's written like XS, but I'm sure they don't want people to say that. It's the XS and the massive XS Max. And then their budget version, when I say budget, it's coming in at about £850, is the XR, which is the kind of the replacement for the iPhone 8.
From a marketing point of view, it sounds quite interesting to see that Apple is doing a budget.
Their budget.
That's Apple budget.
Their budget phone is still one of the most expensive phones they've ever released.
Yeah, but they usually like try to only go for the highly expensive, highly designed iPhones, I guess. So they realize as well that they might have a market for a middle phone, I guess.
Yeah, it was last year with the 10 or the X, whatever you want to call it, that they really went like super expensive, and that made them a lot of cash, didn't it?
Oh,
it was quite a brave move.
Cash,
yeah, because they were kind of losing their way. I guess people were still arguing they're losing their way against Android and the Pixel phones and stuff. But yeah, certainly last year was a massive commercial success for them with the 10 coming out and it being super expensive, super shiny. That gave them some more cash because they were short on cash.
Yeah, I think the smartphone market has basically plateaued. Their smartphones can't really get much better. Pretty much everybody in the US, especially who would buy a smartphone, already has one. There's no new market for it. So what Apple are doing instead is reselling to their same market at a higher price to make more value from the people already who they know will just upgrade their phone no matter what happens. But also with their software update to iOS, making all of their older phones faster and more performant as well. So kind of going higher, more expensive on the top end, and then keeping their other phones active for a longer time to increase their general market, because they know that people, once they have an iPhone, tend to update to another iPhone.
That is interesting, and a change of tack, right? Because Apple has often been about ignoring old hardware and deliberately making old hardware obsolete, whether that's a macOS update or an iOS update. It's kind of a change in tack to go super high end, but also keep the older people around a bit.
And I think that's just a consequence, as I said, of the smartphone market becoming more or less saturated.
Mm.
It's interesting as well to look at Apple versus Google, because having Google Assistant onto the Google phones, are people going to want to keep Apple as the first brand of smartphone, taking in consideration it doesn't like really include any of the top software, or are people willing to change to Google phone like Pixel?
Yeah, I think that's kind of Apple's big gamble, isn't it? I think most people have fairly strong brand loyalty to Apple, but especially in developing markets, they were getting their phones are more expensive, and so Android was cleaning up in those markets. So if they can keep their older hardware with the prices low and get them into the secondhand market, but they still work as well as a modern iPhone but without some of the newer features, then that massively expands their market and also kind of locks people in, maybe.
Yeah, it's interesting to see their approach. Apple have always been a kind of closed shop and everything's done their way, and you know, like the App Store and everything else and Google. And everybody else is trying to get their stuff into everything, whereas Apple are not interested. They just want to make their hardware premium, right? Their stuff premium. So I guess they have to go super premium and keep the old guys happy. I don't think they've got anywhere else to go right now.
Yeah.
The Apple Watch and the iPhone has to be super desirable, super slick, and only available via them for people to want it, to desire it. Otherwise, they'll go to someone else.
I mean, I will say that, you know, they've got a massive hardware advantage over any other manufacturer, really. The fact that they design their own chips, they design their phones to the, you know, from the ground up, they've got complete control. They don't use much off-the-shelf hardware like other phones do, so they're not limited by, you know, the state of other processors. They can build their own. They can make it do exactly what they want. So as phones go, these are fantastic. They're the top of the range that you can get in terms of hardware. But if you look at what the phone does, it just does everything that all the other phones do a little bit better and a little bit faster. And they made a big, big deal about a lot of new features, but really at the end of the announcement, I was thinking, I mean, that's not really much that nobody else does or that you don't already do.
Yeah, I think the plateauing thing with mobiles is definitely, I mean, it's been the case for a few years. Obviously, we've had some biometric stuff with the fingerprint stuff and the face unlocking stuff.
The camera.
I mean, things incrementally improve, but if you think back to, like, I don't know, 10 years ago when it was, you know, the first gyroscope, the camera quality has got amazing, that, you know, app stores opening up, it was all kind of like, wow, this is a new world opening up. And now it's, everything's kind of a level, things will get slightly better. Google are trying to differentiate themselves on software and Apple just trying to become super premium. So it's interesting. I don't know if there's going to be, like, you know, a paradigm shift in phones. It doesn't seem likely at the moment. It seems kind of plateaued. So
the thing out of their announcement that I found most interesting actually was the new Apple Watch. The new Apple Watch is kind of really heavily focused on fitness and health, and I think that's something that all smart watchmakers are realizing now, that that's probably the number one use case for it. Well, maybe the second. First of all is getting the notifications from your phone, but then after that is really as a fitness and health tracker. And so they've really kind of leaned into that by putting the world's first consumer electrocardiogram app into this phone. It can apparently detect heartbeat irregularities, arrhythmia, that type of thing. It's been certified by the US health authorities. It can do fall detection. So if it can detect if you fall onto the floor and don't move for a minute, it automatically alerts the emergency services. So I'm thinking of people with, you know, who suffer from seizures, people who are elderly, people who have mobility impairments,
Neymar.
Who might live on their own. who might live on their own. You know, this could be a potential life-saving device.
Yeah, the watch is interesting. Certainly when the first one came out, I do a bit of games development on the side, and I was thinking, oh, right, how can I get a game on here? Is this going to open up a new market like the App Store? That was very quickly shut down. You weren't allowed to do anything, essentially. And it was interesting to see it find its niche. And yeah, health and fitness is definitely where it's coming in, isn't it? It makes sense. You don't want everything on a watch.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, in terms of my own use, I can vouch for that. Number one use by far is just checking my notifications. Mm. And number two, most commonly used, is probably the Strava app for when I'm cycling.
And interestingly, if this is an opportunity for health and fitness, are they going to try to develop applications that are as good as the one that's already exists, like Strava, NRC? Or are they going to try to get closer to these existing app and communities and include them into their service?
I'd imagine, this is speculation, I'd imagine they want to get their own tracking and health apps better and then just share that data with authorized apps like Strava rather than getting you to download and install a Strava app onto your watch. I just don't really see third-party apps as a big deal for watches in the future. Although, interestingly, with the Wear OS ones and with the Apple Watch, again, it's another way for you to talk to Siri or to talk to Google Assistant, which is probably the bigger long-term deal. Let's move on to Amazon. So Amazon had the biggest announcement of all of them in terms of just the sheer volume of what they mentioned. So in terms of the Echo family, there's a brand new Echo Plus, which has really good speakers, and for some reason, the temperature sensor, I guess, to make it more integrated part of your smart home. There's a new Echo Dot, which is the small version of the Echo, which looks much more like a Google Home if you've seen one of those. There's the new Echo Show, which is the Echo with a screen. It's got a much bigger screen. It comes with Skype video calling now, which is a big deal as well because they had their own video calling, but it relied on you knowing somebody else who had an Echo Show or the Amazon app. And also TV shows for the first time as well. So they signed a deal with Hulu to get TV shows onto it, which again, I think is interesting because when they first announced this device, it wasn't meant to be like a TV replacement as such. It was supposed to be a thing that just shows you short, glanceable information, but now they're kind of making it a central focal point of your kitchen or whatever.
It might be to differentiate from Google as well, which we will be talking in a minute. Trying to put the hardware in the middle of your home, being the center of the activity and what's happening around it, versus having a hardware that blends into your home without being noticed, really.
Yeah, and as you said, we'll come onto Google in a minute, but like the positioning of their brand that they talked about at their announcement was very much the thoughtful home. This hardware that gets out of your way and just kind of gets a job done, whereas Amazon seems very much to be like, bam, we're in the center,
the aggressive
we're the focus
home.
Of everything. Yeah.
I'm just worried about what they're going to call the next ones. There's so many Echo devices now, it's difficult to keep up with Echo Minus, Echo Semicolon, what's going to be next?
Well, they have, I mean, as well as the standalone smart speaker devices, they've also announced a bunch of devices that just turn things into smart speakers. The Echo Sub is a big subwoofer, which you can pair with other Echo devices to make like stereo surround sound in your home. There's the Echo Link and the Echo Link Amp, which also add into your home speaker setup, which kind of act as input-output options. And the Echo Input, again, which kind of plugs into speakers and makes them Alexa-enabled. So this is really a massive focus on the home stereo.
Yeah, so they want to just take over everything, I guess. That they're going after Sonos, I guess, is something that you could argue. Like the Echo Link and the Link Amp are quite interesting to me because I'm a bit of an audiophile when I get the chance, which is very rarely. But like everybody listening through Sonos or Alexa's or Google Homes to all their music, like lower quality is kind of a like, as a person who listens to complicated and you might say, Peter, rubbish music, it's irritating to me to have all this degraded music quality. And so like having it integrated as part of your like old hi-fi system or having a link from Alexa to your existing hi-fi setup, it just allows people to, you know, plug it into what they've got already, and then suddenly Alexa's in your audiophile equipment and it's at a good quality, and suddenly you're controlling it in multiple rooms. I guess it's just a kind of a takeover of everything if they can.
Yeah, and that's kind of Amazon's thing. Amazon don't have a presence on phones, which Google and Apple have. Amazon need to create their own market to dominate, and that's what they're doing with the Echo and with Alexa, is kind of creating this home connected market, which Alexa will be the leader in, and that gives them direct access to that, then obviously feeds into their business of selling you things for your home.
It would be interesting to see, like, from a business decision, having so many products in a portfolio, are people going to get lost into the choice, or are they going to buy like different products that are completing each other? I don't know. I don't have the answer, but that would be interesting to see.
Yeah, and my kind of the thing I've been banging on about for the last 3 or 4 months is don't think of this as Amazon trying to put an Echo into every home. What they want is Alexa in everything, whether it's by them or by someone else. They want Alexa to be the default home automation system, because that obviously channels everybody through to Amazon.
What about the microwave? Are you excited about the microwave?
The microwave's interesting, genuinely, I think, because it's a microwave and it works on its own as a microwave. It doesn't have Alexa built into it. If you want to buy it and it doesn't, and you don't ever use the Alexa function of it, you don't ever need to. It's just a cheap, well-made microwave. But it does have an Alexa button. So if you have an Echo in your home, it connects by Bluetooth to the Echo in your home, and then you can just press a button on the front of the microwave. That creates a connection to your Echo, which then opens the Echo and kind of puts it into the context of the microwave. So you can just press a button on your microwave and say,
stop.
stop, which is an easy enough thing to do with a button on its own. But you can press a button on the front of the microwave and just say, cook on high power for 25 minutes. Mm. And you don't need to say, Alexa, do this, or shout to the next room, Alexa, do this. It's a button that does everything for you magically. And it kind of, this is this idea of Alexa just enhancing everything in your home, whether or not it has Alexa built into it, everything in your home becomes Alexa enhanced, which is another way I think of Amazon trying to control your whole home.
Yeah, I guess it can sound a bit gimmicky, but it depends how you look at it. If it's just to stop or start, there is no point of having Alexa in it. But if it starts being a bit more complicated in terms of commands, like a specific heat or temperature for a specific type of foods, or because maybe you haven't read the label and you don't know really what to do, then it gets interesting.
Yeah, I'd imagine you could just read it off the label, right? You could just press a button and say, cook on high power for 5 minutes, pause for 1 minute, then cook on high power for 10 minutes more. Yeah. Right? If it can understand that, it's perfect. You don't need to play around with things and do all that stuff. But again, as I said, if you just buy it as a microwave and you don't have an Echo in your home, you've still paid 70 quid for a decent microwave. So it's okay for them. Hmm. It's just Alexa enhanced rather than being Alexa integral.
And also, like, if we have voice recognition, all of the different elements of the kitchen and your home could be secured as well for your kids, whether or not you want your kids to be able to use them based on voice recognition. So microwave, yeah, obviously is not super dangerous, but for other products or elements of the home, it could be a good barrier.
Yeah, true. I'm sure my kids will find a way to get around that somehow. They're so too smart. I guess a lot of it comes out of kind of behavior that Amazon weren't expecting, like people using their Alexa so much to set reminders, set alarms,
yeah,
remind me in 15 minutes to do this. That usage is apparently...
It's one of the number one things, yeah, that people do is set reminders and alarms.
Yeah. So based on that usage, it's a similar kind of usage. Yeah, cook this for 10 minutes and tell me when it's done.
Yeah. That's it. Let's talk about Facebook. So Facebook announced Portal. Portal, if you don't know it, is their entry into the kind of the home smart speaker market. What they've done is positioned it with the things that they're good at, which is your social graph. So Portal is focused more around being a video calling tool based on your Messenger contacts. So instead of using your Messenger app to make a video call, you can just say, hey Portal, call Camille, and it does the video calling. But on top of that, it also has Alexa built into it. So if you want to do anything else that's not video calling related, then Alexa takes over and does that for you.
I think it makes sense for Facebook to kind of have the calling experience at the core of their service, because it's all about connecting people, right? The fact that Alexa is there comes back to the conversation we just had, which is Alexa wants to be in every home and every hardware. It's interesting to see that Facebook is accepting to use Alexa.
Yeah, to me that says their own smart assistant, which I know they've been working on one for a long time called M. To me, that's an admission that it's just not good enough.
Fair enough, then. Alexa is good enough.
And so it seems like a smart business decision then to say, right, ours is not good enough, but so we'll put Alexa in it. And then potentially in a future version, in the Portal 2, if this one sells, they take Alexa out and they put their own one in there.
Well, yeah, I think the opportunity on the long term is to develop the software, not the hardware. So if Facebook is only going to launch hardware using someone else's software, then long term, I'm sure they're going to make the difference in the market.
So the interesting thing about the Portal is it was supposed to be announced earlier this year at their I.O. conference, but because that happened around the time of Cambridge Analytica, which we've spoken about in the previous podcast, and the first big privacy issues and the issue with the fake news and the US politics, they postponed it until now. But literally the same day or the day before that they announced the Portal, they also announced that there's been this huge data breach and up to 14 million people have had like lots and lots of personal data information leaked. Would you trust Facebook enough to have this in your home instead of an Echo Show?
What if they were secretly listening to you the whole time and feeding you advertisements and controlling your life, and that was fed to the government, and then you were on a list, and then everything in your life was ruined? People have genuine fears.
That's what some people think. Yeah. That's genuinely what some people think.
Yeah. Yeah, but don't people think something and behave differently? Because Facebook hasn't lost that many users based on all of what happened this year.
Yeah.
So I don't know how...
It hasn't lost many users, but engagement with it is going down quite a lot. Nobody's deleted their account, but people have just stopped using it. Yeah. I don't know why. I mean, you can't prove that that's because of the privacy and all that stuff, but you've got to think that factors into it somewhere. But yeah, people do think having this thing in your house is like a big government spy operation. Does it make a difference if Amazon are doing it or if Facebook are doing it to users, to consumers?
I think it does.
I think it does.
I think it does. I mean, like, if you look at Google, they shut down what was their amazing social networking Plus because there was some data breach. And people were like, oh, they shut down a thing, nobody used it, and maybe some data was stolen, it's fine. If that would have been Facebook, it would have been a lot more of a fuss around it, I feel. Not that Facebook haven't been slightly culpable recently with their privacy stuff. So I think it's like they're getting a reputation for being bad at it. And obviously the way their advertising is targeted is a little bit aggressive, very specific. with the fake news stuff. Facebook has, and they know themselves, obviously, they have a reputation at the moment that is not exactly glowing, especially with regards to privacy, with the legitimate concern. So for the average consumer, do I want to put a Facebook camera in my house? The initial reaction may well be no thanks.
Exactly. People are bringing a brand in their house with their kids and their wife and their husband. It's your whole life who's going to be like organized around it. You have to trust the brand that you're going to bring in your house.
Yeah, and one of the things it does, which I think is quite smart, is it tracks the people in the video. So if you're in the kitchen, which is kind of where everybody sees these devices living generally, you can sort of walk around the kitchen and the camera focuses on you and follows you around, so you never walk in and out of the shop, which is a cool technical feature and kind of quite nice. But at the same time, it's a thing going, Facebook cameras tracking you all over the place, and this is really creepy and scary.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting to see that they've gone so hard on like video calling, because Google have done the opposite. There's no camera in their smart thingy. Amazon are a little bit with the Echo, or a little bit in, but Facebook is just like, yeah, this is for video calling. Basically, there's a bunch of other stuff. You can use Alexa, but video calling is the main focus of this device, which is interesting because it differentiates them specifically from Google. And I noticed Google in their announcement recently, they said, you know, there's no camera, security is tight, you can trust us. So I think as Facebook kind of falter, differentiating this way, Google are picking up on it and putting sly messages in, you can trust our security school, we'll take care of security, you can trust Google, we're your friend, there's no cameras in ours. So it's interesting to see how they separate themselves a little bit in this crowded marketplace.
Yeah, and it's a smart move because they can always add a video later on if they want to.
Sure. Yeah. Let's talk about Google for a second then, because they had their thing last week. So one of the, what we were specifically referring to there is their Home Hub, their own smart display, which does everything that a Google Home does, but it also has a touch screen. First interesting thing about this is the price is £10 more than the Google Home, which, you know, it does the same stuff, but it has a screen. So they're obviously pricing this very, very competitively, because that's where they see the future of these devices, I think. But also, yeah, this lack of a camera. That's, I think, an interesting choice, because some of the other smart displays that have been released using Google Assistant, but by other companies, including Lenovo and JBL and Sony, they all have a camera, but they just have a physical slider that you roll across the front of it. So if you're feeling like, oh, a bit not dodgy about it, you just slide the cover across the camera. But Google have actually not put in a camera at all, which is a really interesting choice, I think.
I think it's quite a smart move, but that's a very personal opinion, because you have to win the trust of people if you go into their house and their home before you can actually expand that much. So with all of these competitors coming in and Facebook being the first, if they want to make sure that their Home Hub is part of a thoughtful home, is blending into people's life, then it doesn't have to be intrusive. And then moving on, maybe like in 1 or 2 years, when people actually trust the technology and the brand, then they can serve with like a video or a video call or anything else.
But at the same time they announced this, they also, we'll come onto the Pixel phones in a second, but they also announced one thing that I think is quite nice, which is a charging stand for the new Pixel phones. But when you drop your phone into it, it kind of turns it into a home assistant, like a smart speaker. It goes into this new software activation mode, which lets you use Google Assistant and does everything that a smart hub does. But also, because it's your phone, has a camera on it. So you can still put this camera next to your bed if you're that, you know,
It's your choice.
Why would you trust one and not the other?
It's strange to me. Yeah, I mean, I'll get one anyway because I love all technology and the price is nice and low. But for me as a family man, I would like a camera in there because the kids are constantly Skyping their relatives, talking to them, constantly like FaceTiming their cousins or talking to their grandparents all the time. That's a big part of family life. And this is a thoughtful home family device. Is it? Call your grandma. She hasn't seen you this week either. That's a big part of technology usage in family homes, based on the anecdotal evidence of me and my family. That would stop me from buying it if I was not a technology kind of person, with the camera not being in there. If it was in there, I'd be like, great.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to fumble around, find my phone or find an iPad or something, not like fire up a computer to do a video call, and it being there in the kitchen or some kind of environment, it would make it much more attractive to me. On the other hand, the Facebook portal one, I don't think I would get, because no. I would like the stuff that's in the system, that's in the Google Home Hub. That's great. I want all that stuff. but I would also like video calling. So it kind of would stop me from buying it.
But it's very interesting as well how much emphasis they put on the design and how much they talked about the design when they launched the devices, as if it was really something that really needs to fit into your home, be almost like a decoration, like part of the decoration, and therefore not being intrusive and therefore not having this video. And yeah, they are really nice design-wise.
Yeah, definitely. If you compare their design to, I mean, Amazon are getting better now, but the first generation of devices were just these like black cylinders with like really strong lights on the top of them. They were like, I don't know, like something you might find on the Death Star or something like that. And now with the second or third generation, they're going for more the Google style, which is the lighter colors, like the softer, touchable fabrics and this type of thing. And Google are like releasing more colors of things now. They've got this blue Google Home Mini now as well, which looks like something you might have in your grandmother's bathroom. But they're going for much more softer colors. And yeah, you're right. The design and the whole aspect of this blending into your life is a much bigger deal with Google.
Yeah, and that's the thoughtful home stuff that they're currently pushing, which makes a lot of sense to me. And I guess it's something that's going across all technology, screen time on the latest iOS, people having concerns about their device usage, especially with families, signed towards myself again. It's interesting to see how this stuff wants to be in everything, but doesn't want to distract you from your lives, wants to enhance your life. So how can an assistant and a screen be in your house and enable family interactions or friendly interactions and not distract from what you're trying to do, which is get on with your lives, form better human relationships, do all the human stuff. So like Google's definitely going strongly for that play. It's interesting to see how everybody kind of markets themselves, because actually what they want is their stuff in everything. They want more network technology everywhere, but it's played as a, we want to get out of the way, we want to let you live your life and just be there for you when you need us kind of thing. So it's an interesting time with all these millions, myriad of hardware coming up.
And one more thing from Google was their new phones, their Pixel 3 and the 3 XL. The really interesting thing about these two phones, I think, is for the first time they're more or less the same phone, just one is bigger than the other. Like last year's phones, the Pixel 2 and the Pixel 2 XL had different screens and they had different, some of the internals were different. The 2 XL could do things that the XL couldn't, that the 2 couldn't. Whereas these, they're literally the same hardware inside. The XL has got a slightly bigger screen, but it's the same screen as the other one, and it's got a slightly bigger battery, but the processor is the same. Everything about it is the same. And in terms of the hardware, it's really not that different from the Pixel 2. They've got this year's version of the same processor. The camera is very, very slightly upgraded, and they've got a new security chip, but really they're the same phones, slightly updated, but they're charging much more for them, going for the Apple premium pricing model as well.
Yes, for me it's an Apple move. It's exactly that.
Yeah, they've got their faithful audience. Exactly. It might not be a big audience yet, but they have a faithful audience.
Yeah. So saying like, we've put the best into the phone, they can't have two phones, they're just one. You take either the big or the small, but here it is.
And the same again with Apple is, in the past, Google would only promise software updates for 18 months, but I think with the Pixel phones, they're saying we'll update your phone for 3 years, which means that the Pixel 2 and the Pixel 3 all remain updated on the latest software. So they're kind of trying to, again, with the Apple model, sort of extend that longer tail of people who don't upgrade all the time as well.
I guess it's also easier seeing as they're basically the same phones every year.
Yeah, exactly.
A few years ago, it would have been very difficult to stagger operating systems across like 3 years of devices. Now, it's pretty simple because they're the same.
Yeah. I love I mentioned this a couple of minutes ago, the names of the colors that the phones come in.
Okay.
So there are three colors that the phone is available in. The first one is just black.
Has it got any gray on it?
No, it's just black.
Right, okay. Okay.
Second one, well, that's clearly white.
Right, what's the pink one called?
It's not pink.
What color is it then?
Not pink.
Right.
So what color is it?
Not pink.
I think it's purple.
I don't know why I find that really nice. That the colors are just black, clearly white, and not pink.
It's just funny.
It is funny.
Like apples, I don't know, maybe it's a little dig at Apple for calling theirs like champagne, rose, and things like this.
Anthracite, invasion, and space gray, and
But they do have created exactly the same colors than the Apple one, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, white and black is pretty much standard for any phone now. It's the not pink.
The not pink is
kind of very straying into Apple territory. Yeah. You consider some of the last ones came in like a bright red and blue and this kind of bigger, stronger colors. Now they're kind of toning back from those. But yeah, the phones are kind of the hardware. They're fine. I'm going to buy one because my Pixel's I've got the original Pixel, my microphone's broken, I need a replacement. Anyway, it's 2 years since I got it. But I don't know how they're gonna sell. Like, they're good phones, they're decent phones, they're not a quantum leap. Again, the same with the Apple ones, they're not a quantum leap over last year's. I think if you're looking at like a 2 or 3 year upgrade cycle, then you definitely feel the benefits of them. You know, the Pixel 3 compared to the Pixel, I'm sure will be much better. Whereas if you compare it to the Pixel 2, it's probably gonna be really, really similar.
But like any phone, right?
Yeah. Even with the Apple ones, they can promise all this stuff and they make a really big deal about how revolutionary it is. But I think if you bought last year's iPhone 10 and this year's iPhone 10s, are you really going to feel the difference? No. Whereas if you upgrade from an iPhone 7 to an iPhone 10s, you'll definitely feel the difference.
Mm, that's what I'm going to do. But yeah, because I'm on a 2 year upgrade cycle. I think it's like that, isn't it? Like every 2 years or whenever your contract, do I want the latest one or do I want the slightly not latest one? Even though there's not much difference, except in price. Most people, if they can afford it, will go for the latest because they know they've got it for a year or two.
What they've made their big differentiator on, like with Apple, is the software. The hardware, yeah, it's better, it does all this stuff, but really it's the software. And particularly from both companies, the camera. The camera is the big, big deal now for everybody because that's where all the interesting computational breakthroughs are happening. From like Google Lens stuff of recognizing the world around you, to augmented reality of putting things into the world around you, or to just taking amazing photos. That's where everybody's really focusing their kind of marketing on.
Yeah, people document their life like nonstop, and it's really great to have a great quality camera into your pocket, I guess. On top, obviously, all the tech opportunities that come from the AR and the lens.
Yes, I guess it's the camera backed by machine learning and a bunch of other stuff, computer vision essentially, as well as the photography stuff of using the camera as an input. As we've discussed many times, that stuff is becoming more prevalent now and it's going everywhere, right? Instagram, Messenger, like Lens, everyone's going to be using the camera as an input for recommending products, going straight to stores, getting stuff, picking up stuff that you see effortlessly, easier than any other kind of search. So I guess that's all kind of related to that. And AR is being pushed by all the biggies, right?
Yeah.
Something interesting. And what about the Pixel Slate?
Yeah, the Pixel Slate is kind of Google's latest Chromebook, but it's a kind of a tablet-focused Chromebook. But also the big deal is now it also runs Android apps. So it sells kind of as a tablet. It has a Chromebook interface, but you can download and install Android apps from the Play Store onto it. But you can also spend another $200. I don't know what the UK price is yet. You can spend another $200 and put a keyboard on it, and then it turns into a laptop. So it's like one of these convertible devices that Microsoft's been doing a lot.
It's like a Surface. Yeah.
Like the Surface, yeah. But what's interesting with this as well is that one of the things they didn't make such a big deal of when they announced it, but I think is interesting, is it's not just one product. It's actually four products. They all look identical, but you can choose how powerful the hardware inside it is. So if you go for the lower end, you get this tablet with a mobile processor in it, and it works just like a tablet. Whereas if you spend another £800 almost, then you get like a big, powerful desktop processor that goes into it. And so it can act as a MacBook replacement. So really, this one product is almost taking on the whole of Apple's line.
Hmm. See how it gets on, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people love the Surface. A lot of people rave about that.
I think Chromebooks do really well in schools, but largely because there's a lot of budget ones. You know, Lenovo and even Samsung make ones that start around £250, which is really good for a laptop.
Yeah. Certainly that's what I'm going to get my kids when they're asking for like a shiny laptop. I'm going to get your Chromebook because it's just so much cheaper for what you get for the price.
Whereas the Pixel Slate starts at around $550, which is expensive even for a tablet. And then you stick on the price of a keyboard on there, that's like all of a sudden £750 for a fairly entry level.
Yeah.
So I'm not quite sure who they're going for with this.
Maybe people who travel a lot and who kind of always are in between laptop and tablets, working from the laptop but also needing tablet for, I don't know, presentations or it would be a good combination. However, is it too niche to be able to keep it forever?
Yeah, but they're directly taking on people like Microsoft, who's I think are around about the same price. But people like Lenovo and like some of the big Chinese manufacturers already make this type of hybrid, and it's a lot cheaper. So, you know, I get it that Google wants Pixel to be sort of their premium range, but I still think it's a lot of money for what they're asking.
One question I had about the Pixel Slate is, does it have Acrobat Reader or Composer on it?
This was one of the most amazing bits of their presentation to me, was the fact that they made this really big deal and were like, put a pause, hoping for whoops when they said, and it comes with the very latest specially made version of Adobe Acrobat Reader. Mm-hmm. And I think one person in the crowd went,
woo!
PDF, woo!
But it was a really weird thing to kind of make the pivot of your
That's the thing I remember the most from it.
But they did talk a lot about YouTube for their Home Hub, right?
Sure.
Yeah, Home Hub. YouTube's a big deal for the Home Hub because so many people watch YouTube. And of course, they kicked it off the Echo Show a little while ago. They claimed Amazon was doing something technically they shouldn't have been doing. You can now get YouTube on the latest Echo Show, but you have to open a web browser to do it. It's not like built into the platform. So once you open that web browser, it's not voice controlled anymore. You have to touch it and interact with it. So it's a bit of a botch, but it is there. Well, that was a lot of talking about a lot of things.
Yes, it was.
What was your favorite thing that got announced in the last month?
Home Hub, definitely, for the position in the tech that is completely different from their competitors. I'm looking forward to see if people are going to be disappointed or happy about the fact that there is no video.
I don't know, really. I'm just, it's interesting to see how everyone stacks up against each other, gets more competitive, tries to differentiate. So my answer is not a valid answer. I'm interested in all of it.
For me, it was probably the Pixel Charger. I think it's a really interesting thing. I mean, I know Amazon have already done a similar thing actually just last month, where you pop a Fire tablet into this thing and it turns it into an Echo Show. But I think, you know, the market for, maybe not for the Pixel phone in particular, but for other Google, for other Android phones to do this is way bigger. So I think that's quite exciting. The fact that you can just spend 70 quid and turn your phone into a Home Hub is nice. Great. Thank you, Camille, for stepping in.
Thank you very
It's been
much.
Fantastic to talk to you. Thank you, Gordon,
Thanks,
for being
everybody.
Here as always. Thank you, everybody, for listening. We promise not to make it so long next time.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.